Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of Owlposts, a Harry Potter podcast. And I have to say, I am so excited to be here. In fact, one might even say, I solemnly swear I am up to no good.
Yeah.
How about you, Drea?
Yeah, same deal. I'm so excited. I'm like, you can't see because it's, you know, audio, but I'm like wiggling in my chair right now. I'm so excited.
Well, that's wonderful, and I wish everybody could see it. We're pumped to be here tonight and to be beginning this brand new adventure together. And, well, I just have to say, I guess we should tell everybody the story about how this happened. We have become friends because we worked on a podcast together that I still do called The 602 Club, and we walked through each and every one of the Harry Potter films. And you were on almost every one of those episodes.
I was on a good deal of them, yes. And I probably watched all of them as you did them anyway.
Yeah.
Because Harry Potter.
But we kept talking about the books. And we came up with this idea, what if we did a podcast where we actually got to talk about the thing that we have slowly been talking about throughout last year in 2016. But what if we actually did specific book podcast, which I was really excited about, and I knew you were really excited about. So, Drea, lay out a little bit of what we're going to do in this podcast each and every week, and what kind of makes it a little bit different.
So, the idea is we're going to go chapter by chapter throughout the Harry Potter books, the 7 books that were written, and we're going to talk a little bit about each chapter and kind of what it meant and how it plays into the bigger story. So, we'll sort of get the speed will get going after you hit, you know, we get a few chapters in, and then kind of give our thoughts on the storylines that we're missing from some of the movies, some of the things we really like and appreciate about the books, and sort of give a little speculation back and forth on those two.
Well, I think what's great about it too is it gives you the opportunity to really dig into some of the themes as they develop, and you get to talk about them slowly. You know, you don't have to feel like you have to cram everything into an hour's worth of conversation, so that by the time we do reach the end, I think, of each book, it'll have been we have an episode for every chapter, so you really get to dive into that. And I think one of the things that excites me is even getting ready for our next episode, reading the first chapter, I was struck by some of the things and some of the questions that I have, you know, after so many years of reading Harry Potter. So I guess my next question to you is, how did you get into this whole crazy thing, this wondrous world of Harry's?
So when I was younger, because the copy I have is a reprint. I don't have my original copy. Actually, my sister had the original copy. And so I'm looking for the date that it originally came out. 97. So I was 12, making sure I did math right. I did. I was 12. My sister was learning to read because she's about 4 years younger than me. So she was really practicing on reading. And the instructors at school suggested that her and my mom read aloud, because when you read aloud, you learn it more and you learn how to pronounce things because you now know what they sound like, which is more commonly heard in like the real world. So her and my mom used to sit down and read Harry Potter a chapter or two each evening. And I didn't read with them. I was like in the adjoining room so I could like hear it. So I heard little bits of the story. So I'd wait until they got done reading it. And then I would go take the copy and read the book. So they would take, you know, 2 or 3 months to go through a book. And I'd take like an evening to go through a book. So that's how I got into them, is I kind of heard like bits and pieces and it sounded like so much fun. So I would go and get the copy when they got done with it. So I sort of read them as they came out, around the time they came out, And then for the last couple books, when I was, you know, obviously not young enough to be living with my family anymore, and my sister had obviously learned to read by the time we hit a couple books deep.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you finished that part of the story, because I was on the edge of my seat.
We're really glad she learned to read.
She can read, folks. She can read.
Before we hit like the third book, you know, 5 years
yeah,
later.
Exactly. Oh, I forgot I didn't finish that story in our very first episode.
So I'll bring her on. She can read out loud to us. But then I started just, you know, sort of picking them up as they came out. And I think the only one that I ever did the midnight showing for was Order of the Phoenix. Nope. Half Blood Prince. And I remember why, because everyone tried to ruin that one for me. Cause that was the one that got ruined.
Man, that's funny. So for me, it's very different. Harry Potter came out when I was about to graduate high school, and going into college, and the area that I grew up in and the world in which I grew up, we were very skeptical of anything that comes out that has a school called wizardry and witchcraft. You know, that was not a thing that we immediately embraced. And a lot of people that I knew didn't think that these books would be worth reading or something that would be good for kids. And I remember finally came down to this one day. I went to Barnes & Noble. It was my favorite Barnes & Noble at the time when I was living back in Dallas. I sit down, I've got the book with me, and I read the first chapter, and I'm hooked. Like, she has me chapter one. I'm like, this is really good. So I just kept reading, and then I was done with that one, and I finished the second one and the third one by that point, and then I got stuck having to wait for the fourth book and the fifth, sixth, and seventh. And the midnight releases that I went to were 5, 6, and then I worked 7 because I worked at Barnes & Noble, and we had over 2,000 people there that night.
Nerd.
Yeah, super nerd. So... It was just something that became, you know, I think a part of my life in almost the way that Star Wars kind of became part of my life. You know, I watched it really early as a kid on VHS, and then, you know, special editions came out, prequels, and then it just kind of snowballed big time. And the same thing with Harry Potter, you know, the books kept coming out and snowballed and became a world that I loved. And I think the big reason for me sticking with Harry Potter for so long, it hasn't been the movies, it's been the books. It's been J.K. Rowling's wonderful storytelling style and the tightness of the narrative. And that's something I think that's going to be really fun about it, doing this show with you, is getting the opportunity to really walk through each and every chapter. And when we finally put it all together, seeing all the puzzle pieces and how they fit together, because Rowling loves to dump tiny little puzzle pieces that you have no idea are going to be important. It might take 7 books for that piece of information to be important. And I think that's what's so wonderful about her series. And so, yeah, I love, and if you can't tell, I love, love, love Harry Potter. I love his world, and I love what J.K. Rowling has given us. And to me, I'll say right up front, I think it's probably the best thing for kids and children's literature. And, you know, since, gosh, the Chronicles of Narnia, probably. I mean, it's that good. It's that iconic. So
it's been really nice, too, because my sister and I are very different anyway. Like, she's very artsy and into some things that just like aren't an interest to me. She works at an art museum. She's a photographer. She teaches art. Like, that is nowhere in my realm of interest by almost any stretch of the imagination, and this is still something we can keep coming back to. And like, we can go to the movie, or we, like, if she's sick and wants to come over, because she only lives down the street, so you know, if she's sick or I'm sick, like, we'll just watch Harry Potter and like be sick on the couch, and we may not have anything else in common, but we still have Harry Potter in common. So it's really nice that it brings that sort of sense of family too. So it's pretty important to me. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you. I think it's one of those things, you know, my sister wasn't a huge reader, but she read all the books and it gave us something to talk about. You know, I have many of friends where Harry Potter was the thing that kind of made us become friends. And we found all the other interests later on, but the first linchpin to that friendship was Harry Potter. And, you know, I think that one of the beauties of Harry Potter is that in the end, it actually is a huge celebration of friendship. And, you know, as it's super popular these days, but I think is very important is the idea of like found families, because that's what Harry's life becomes, is a big found family. You know, he finds a family in the Weasleys and with Hermione. And I think that's very important. I think that's one of the reasons that people connect with it too, is just the fact that whatever character it is, and there are so many wonderful characters in her world, you usually find at least one that you connect with, and that's great, you know. So you can be the super nerd like Hermione, you know, with her books and her reading and her figures. You know, you can be the easygoing guy like Ron. You can be the more esoteric and kind of strange person like Luna, but we all love her. You know, it, like, she has all these different characters that inhabit her world, and they all get celebrated for their differences and what they bring to the table. And I think that's a wonderful thing, especially in the world we live in.
So the movies, I'm a fan of the movies. I think I'm generally a fan of a book to movie adaptation, even though, you know, I definitely have been guilty of doing the whole like that movie ruined that franchise or whatever. But I think especially with Harry Potter, it was really important for those people who hadn't read the books yet to help sort of open that door. Like you already said, you had some friends who hadn't read the books but had seen the movies, and that was their introduction to them. So it was nice to introduce them back to the books and also to introduce them to the world and give you something in common, even though you've read the books and they've seen the movies. So I like that it did that. I think overall, they did a nice job of telling the story. They left out some side stories and they left out some things that, if you've listened to any of the 602 Club, you know, obviously we really missed, which sort of led to this. But overall, I think they did a nice job and didn't make any glaring sort of off the path changes from the books. I think they are beautifully aesthetically beautifully done. And I am a huge fan of the score and the soundtracks for them. So I really enjoy them. I definitely like the books better than I like the movies, but I think they do a really good job filling that void and helping to invite more people in the fandom who maybe aren't a big fan of actually reading all the books or who didn't have an incentive to do that originally.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, that's one of the things that happens so much these days is that so much literature has been made into film now. It does give people the impetus to go and read the book, and that's wonderful. I think for me, especially after having spent a year with the films and talking about them in depth on the 602 Club, I think that the best way I can describe it is that they are the Cliff Notes version of the book. So they get the bare minimum usually, especially by the end, where there's just so much material and there's so much in her books, and she's so detailed and so wonderful in it of weaving these stories. You just can't put that all in a movie unless it was, you know, you're doing like a mini series on TV or something. So because they don't have that opportunity, they're going to miss stuff. And so I always encourage anyone, you know, if you liked the movies, you got to read the books, because I think you'll get so much more out of it. Now, I think you're absolutely right. The aesthetic for the Harry Potter movies is fantastic. They've done such a beautiful job of, I think, translating her world. And, you know, when J.K. Rowling herself says that the moment she walked on the Diagon Alley set and she was blown away that her imagination had come to life, that's pretty cool. Or, say, in the Prisoner of Azkaban, where they created something that she wishes she had created. She liked little fegheads. she loved those things and she's like, oh, I wish I had created those. You know, so that's a really neat thing that a, you know, a author says about a filmmaker, that they added something to her world that she liked. And I think that's wonderful. And on top of that, you're absolutely correct in calling out the fact that, I mean, John Williams knocked it out of the park the first three films with some incredible scores that created the world of Harry Potter in the same way that he did for so many other amazing franchises, from Superman to Star Wars to Indiana Jones to, I mean, the list, we could be here all night if we just listed all of the ways that he added auditory enjoyment. In fact, I'm pretty sure that more than half the soundtracks that I own are probably John Williams.
I think so. There's entire symphonies dedicated to John Williams.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And so I really do love that. And I think those are the things that the movies did so well. And I have to say, for the most part, I think that the casting was good casting, you know, and they didn't. This was the best thing I could say, I think, about any movie adaptation. They didn't cast a character that ruined what I had in my head when I first saw it. Like, it they didn't do that thing. And I think it was wonderful. So, you know, Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson and Rupert Grint are forever going to be, in my mind, what Harry, Ron, and Hermione look like. And but the fact that they turned out to be great actors and... Of course, I mean, every great British actor, actress is also in the film. So it's just, they are fun, wonderful pieces of the Harry Potter universe now. But I think always my first love is going to be the books.
I agree 100%. And I, even though some of the characters may be deviated from their descriptions in the books slightly, I don't think any of the personalities deviated, and that makes it that much better, because now, like, let alone in the first chapter, which we'll talk about, we've already had a deviation in the movie to the book when you talk about Aunt Petunia. So there's a couple of things like that where there's slight changes in the casting that you don't notice, though. You don't notice them when you're watching the movie. It doesn't stand out and jump out at you and bother you. So they did a wonderful job with the casting. That's definitely, I definitely agree.
No, I completely agree with you, and I'm so excited to be on this journey with you each and every week, talking about one of the different chapters of Harry Potter. Now, we'll definitely be going chronologically. We'll start with chapter one and move all the way through the epilogue of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Now, if you know your math as a Harry Potter fan, or maybe you're new, so we'll let you know. If you take this episode, our prologue episode, and you end with an epilogue, in between that, there are 198 chapters. So our plan is to have 200 episodes, and we'll see if maybe we add some more to that, maybe talk about the Harry Potter play, the Cursed Child, and some other things that might come along that she might add later on. We'll have to see. But our main goal is to make sure that we cover every single part of the original Harry Potter books 1-7. So we're very excited to do that for you. And I can't wait to dive into that. Now, Drea, there are a couple of places that I want to make mention that everybody can find us online. And so our main home, obviously, is thenerdparty.com. So you can find all of the shows that we have on thenerdparty.com, and you will find, of course, Owl Post there. And you'll also find us on Twitter under Join Nerd Party, at Join Nerd Party on Twitter. You can find us. But I also know that you have a couple of places that you are online. So if anybody wants to talk Harry Potter with you, or get in touch with you, or talk about how much they love the show, where can they find you online, Drea?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PCFchick, so PCFCHICK, or at Drea Kaufman on Instagram, and it's COFFMAN.
Awesome. Awesome. And you definitely want to follow her there. While you're at it, you know, find us on iTunes, and we're a brand new podcast, and the best way to help a brand new podcast is to give us some star ratings and reviews. We'll really appreciate that. And of course, if you leave us a star rating and a review so we can call you out, We'll give you a shout on the show. Make sure you know that you're loved, and thank you for sending us your owl post there on.
And we'll be that's your extended right. Harry yeah. Potter family.
Oh, goodness. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02.
I still think it's funny that there was two more of you already.
Well, yeah, it's so hard to find a Twitter handle when I joined. So yeah, you can find me there. I'm also on Instagram at MRushing. You can find me on the Trek FM network doing a couple of shows. I do one called the 602 Club, as we mentioned here, which is our general geek show there. We talk about all things geeky that don't have anything to do with Star Trek. We covered, as we said, Harry Potter. We cover tons of Star Wars, Bonds, Marvel, DC, old movies, new stuff. It's just a blast. Make sure you check it out. I think you'll love it. If you're a big Star Wars fan, you can also check out Star Wars The 602 Club Collection. Both of those are on iTunes and great ways to check out some of the other things I've done. Also do The Orb with Chris Jones, where we talk exclusively about Deep Space Nine there on Trek FM. Last but not least, of course, you can find me here on the Nerd Party, my good friend John Mills, talking about Star Wars. We do aggressive negotiations, so I hope you'll join us there. We love getting the opportunity just to pick a fun new topic in the Star Wars universe and bat that around between two masters and, well, see who comes out on top with those aggressive negotiations. Well, thank you so much for checking your owl posts.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.